So, okay, so let's talk a little bit about Kiddush Arba Netarah, okay? This is a complicated sugya on 100 levels, in terms of the lambdas, in terms of the theological implications. Everything about Kiddush Arba Netarah is complicated, so if you found out this sugya difficult, that's to be expected, okay? How far did people get in the Makaros? The Kovitaros?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. What?
The stuff that's not on the page.
Okay, fine. Okay. So let's start. Do you guys want to start with the lambdas, or should we first frame the issue more, the philosophical, like theological problems with the sugya? Yeah? Start with the framing and then move in.
Okay. We were motivated 45 minutes
into
this year, like, okay, that was the
Mavo,
and now we can actually start.
No. Okay, fine. So, you know, let's start with that, okay? The Gemara, I gave you the two main Gemaras, right? One is the two blotters, so they come up in the 10th parak of Amos about Akiras Tavra Torah, where it uses that phrase, Akiras Tavra Torah. The second thing I gave you was the Gemara in Brachos, Dachsama Gimel, which, if you didn't notice, is very similar. There, the phrase used is, Eish Lassos Hashem Mefer Sarasecha, or which Chazal darshan both ways, is lots of Hashem, affairs are Zecho, affairs are Zecho, is lots of Hashem. The point being the same, that when there is time, when it is time to protect the Torah, if you need to suspend certain halachas, you're allowed to do that. Okay? That's the halachic concept. We'll get back to the details in a minute, but let's frame it, okay? Let's posit for a moment as a given that under certain circumstances, Chazal have the ability to suspend laws of the Torah. Again, we'll get back to it. Kumbase, Sheval Tase, Lesha, Medoros, etc. Okay? Why would Chazal have this power? And this is an extremely problematic claim that Chazal have the ability to uproot the Torah at all, because presumably they get their authority from the Torah. Very good. Right? According to the Rambam, they get it from the Pasuk of According to the Ramban, at least within the Bahag, they get it from, we have no idea, right? They don't get it from Lotasser. Where they do get it from is it anybody's guess. Rav Chanan devotes the first chapter of Kuntres Deveis Sofrim to trying to figure out where the Ramban get it from, suggests maybe it comes from like a natural law theory, right? You obviously, it's like a first principle, you are obligated to do what God wants, and the people who can intuit God's will are the people who understand the Torah. Mashu Kazem, anybody's guess, okay? But it's clear that wherever their authority comes from, their authority is stems bikaron from the fact that they interpret, protect, they are responsible for the Torah. So why would we posit that they are capable of uprooting it, right? That's a very odd thing to claim, okay? So I want to deal with that on two levels. One is, practically, where is the source? Right? What is the makor for this power? And the second is, how do you justify that power, okay? So, and those are not the same thing, right? I mean, first, where do we get that? I mean, where can we justify it textually? And the second is, how do we justify it, like, philosophically? What does that tell you about halacha, okay? So let's get through that quickly, then we'll get to the more complicated parameters of the halacha. Okay, so section two here that I gave you was the mikar. Okay, so we have, how many mikars did I give you? Six. These are not all fundamentally distinct, but they have slightly different formulations, okay? But let's quickly go through the mikaros, right? Where does it come from? So, the Rambam. Rambam in Mamrim, Beis Dalet. He's speaking about what? What? Based on 2a. Good. So he's talking about rabbinic law, rabbinic decrees, and the rule that rabbinic decrees have what gives rabbinic law like a staying force, the ability to last, is the formal rule that a Beis Din cannot uproot the decrees of a previous Beis Din unless they're Gadol Menu Chacham Minyan. But he says there's an exception to this rule, which is Rasha, if they need to. And he, right, now, it's interesting, right, which we'll get back to, the Rambam, where he actually deals with the Kiras Tavra Netarah, meaning on a level of Doraisa, discusses it not here, but in Hilchos Sanhedrin, which is somewhere on the sheet, in 9. There we go, in 9. Perek Chav Dalet. He doesn't actually mention the word Akira Stavim Renatera. The only way you know that the Rambam there thinks that Makiva Unshin Shloman Adin is a function at all of Akiras Amadera is because the Rambam tells you here in Mamrim when he's discussing the ability of Chazal to uproot Derabbanans temporarily, right, that logically the same thing applies, right? Look at the Rambam, right? V'yesh lebezen lakor af dvarim elu lifisha aval bishu katam nishonim, right? Even if you are incapable of uprooting the original rabbinic decree because you don't fit the criteria of galu menu kafam minyan, the reason you're able to uproot it is because we don't want Darabanans. Darabanans can't be more strict than Daraisas. Shafilu divrei Torah yesh l'chol bezin l'akra horaz shah. Because even Daraisas, Chazal have the ability to uproot it temporarily. Ketzan, and they tell you, bezin shor l'chazak adas. The bezin sees that they want to strengthen religion. V'lasas shag k'dei sh'layav ramal divrei Torah. And make offense so that that people don't violate Divrei Torah. Makin Ma'unshin Shlom Kedin. They're allowed to punish people extra legally. And this is what he's talking about in Hilchos Sanhedrin. So you understand that that's what he means. That that's a Kiras Darah Torah, even though he never says it. I will ain kovin adavar ladaros. But you don't do it forever, right? This is the Doros Lasha distinction. V'kein imro l'fishar levat ha-mitzvah zaseh. Olav ha-mitzvah zlozah zaseh. K'dei l'achzir rabim ladas. And if they choose to suspend either a positive or a negative commandment to help bring people back to religion, lahatzel rabim Yisrael, or save people, m'lachzir v'dvar macherim, osin l'fim ma'asher tzvicha hashah. You do what the time needs. And now he gives a svara. K'shem sha'rofei chotech yado o'rago shel zeh. K'dei sh'yich yekulo. The same way that a doctor will amputate in order to save the person, kach bezdin morim bizman menazmanim lavrok tzat mitzvahs lefisha kidei sheyiskaimu kulam kidei achshu amru chacham rishonim chal alav shavas agas kidei sheyishmar shavasos harbe. So too Chazal can temporarily suspend one law to protect the entirety of the Torah, and this is the way Chazal said that the svara they give before they give the pasuk of achayvahem that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to say somebody's life is chalav shabbos achas kedei sheyishmar shavas es harbei. Right, so the first basic source for the Rambam, right, Akiras Davar Madaro, what justifies it?
The greater good.
Svara, right, the greater good. Great, but the Radbaz points out, right, we should be medayek in his mashal. What does his mashal say? Right, in order to save the Torah, we compare it to an amputation. Right, you amputate an arm to save the body. Now, what's the problem of taking this mashal?
What's the body?
Incomplete.
What?
It's incomplete.
It's not incomplete. It's
without the hand.
What's the body? What's the body? What is he saying the body?
Exactly. Right? Let's take his example. Makin v'onshin shlom adin. So what does that mean? Let's say somebody does something which is not a capital crime. And Chazal decides that for now, it's necessary to carry out capital punishment. Okay? For to be machzer Yisrael. And to save Yisrael from sin. So, what's the body and what's the arm, right? Both in terms of the people and in terms of the Torah, right? I'm killing Reuven to save Klal Yisrael, which means I'm violating Ritzicha to protect, I don't know, the abundance of Shabbos, right? That's an example in the Gemara, right? That once Chazal decided that they needed to kill somebody for riding an animal on Shabbos, which is only necessary to Rabbanan, but they needed to execute the criminal in order to emphasize the importance of the Rabbanan on Shabbos, okay? So I'm violating Ritzicha against Reuven to save Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar Zvulun from violating the Rabbanan of Shabbos. So the problem with the Mashal is, right, I'm killing. Right, normally, right, when we're talking about an amputation, I chop off Reuven's arm to save Reuven, right? But here, I'm violating Ritzicha to protect Shabbos and I'm killing Reuven to protect Shimon. So the Radbaz points out correctly, the only way to justify this svara, right, Alpi svara, is to make two claims. One is that all of Yisrael is one organic unit, and the second one is all of Torah is one organic unit. And once you take those two assumptions, then it works. Right? If you assume that all of Torah is one unit, then it makes sense to say I can violate Ritzicha to protect Shabbos. And if you say Yisrael is one organic unit, then I can, right, amputate Reuven to protect Shimon. Right? Okay. You should always be careful with mashals, right? Always spell it out. But the Rabbaz, I think, is 100% correct. Right? That what comes, right, ineluctably out of position of the I think it's in Roy Targan's room, you have to use words that no one else uses. I think that's a rule.
Right.
What?
Two synonyms.
It's true. He does do that for some.
Use one word and then two synonyms. Excited. Like, you gotta be excited. If you want to be right there.
And you have to sit upside down with a shirt.
Yeah.
God Almighty.
You have to write on the light switch.
Okay. Must speak. Fine. So the first svara, the first source is simple svara. What's the svara? He's saying, look, Chazal recognize Chalav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmu Shabbosos Harbe. That they're fundamental to the notion of Torah is that sometimes for the greater good you need to do triage. It's straightforward. Right? You don't need a source for that. That's the Shitas Haramba. Okay. Now, everybody else, even if what fundamentally motivates them is svara, right? They provide different either sources or formulations of it. I think the svara, this svara runs through all of them, I assume, but they all give different sources. Okay, so the Rajba has different formulations. I don't think they're mutually distinct from each other, but he has different formulations. So, in Chelek Gimel, Simen Shin Sadi Gimel, in the Chuvos, he compares it to... People did not get to the sources. Yes? No? Whatever. Pretty straightforward. Right? Look at the second page. Right? Amati al kol tanas akundras hazev, roashim ha'idim namanam eitel burin, mashayim hein liknos kanas mamanon nishigof, hakol fi mashir lem, v'zemekayim olam. Right, whatever, we'll leave aside what he's actually talking about. But he says, if in this case you were always to act exactly in the way the Torah did, and you would only punish the way the Torah commanded, the world would be destroyed, because sometimes you need to
go extra
legally. Okay, so here, right, he doesn't explain it, he just notes, right, that there's a phrase in the Gemara, L'charba Yerushalayim el b'nei hamidu divrei el din Torah, that Yerushalayim was destroyed now, right? There are two different ways one could understand this, right? Some Rishonim understand this, that L'charba Yerushalayim el b'nei hamidu divrei el din Torah meant that nobody was willing to do pshara ever, right? Everyone, for every last penny, was makbid to get their rights. Right, this is like a Midas Stom situation where they're not wrong, but at some point there's no shalom. Right, he understands it differently. He says no. Right, what led to Yerushalayim's destruction is that people didn't recognize that sometimes in order to protect society you need to go right and you need to go beyond the letter of the law. Now, what his source is, he doesn't say. Right, he doesn't actually provide a source. He does find a different. Right, a parallel in Chazal to hang it on. I assume the Svara is similar, right? What's he saying? The same as the Rambam. Under certain circumstances, society will fall apart if you follow the strict law. Sometimes society needs more than that. Okay? Yes.
When you're killing someone for who's killing you, is it called Ritzicha or is it just called Pikoch Nefesh? And it's not like you. It's as if you didn't kill the person.
I think it's called Shvichas Damim and not Ritzicha.
Yeah, but it's not as...
I think it's called Shvichas Damim Minat Ritzicha. Look at Yom HaDaf Pehei. I think that's the Maskana. What the implications are of that is very complicated.
That's what the Rambam is saying here. He's saying, like, when you're cutting off the arm, right? It's as if the arm is coming to kill you, and the arm is a Ritzach, right?
No, he's not. He's not. No, he's not. No, he's not.
If you didn't cut off the arm, you would die.
No.
That's the amputation that's happening.
No. Let us stick away from metaphorical road, Dave. Right? This is a very dangerous... territory. He does not say that. Somebody who is violating Shabbos, Derabbanan, is not trying to kill everybody. It's just not true. Right? Meaning, it might threaten the Torah system. This is not Rodev.
That's a threat to the Torah system.
That's fine. No. Right? Metaphorical Rodev. No. Right? No. Right? Rodev is very simply, Abala Harga, right? Is someone who's trying to kill you, you can kill him. Right? That's it. Right? No. This is not metaphysical Rodev. Like, no, isn't this? It is a very dangerous thing, right? People use rhetoric like that, and it's really scary. No, it's a threat. Yes, fine. Threat. Threat is great, right? That's a good word. Okay. Shura Rajba Heilam and Ches gives a different source, and he compares it to the very, very radical concept of Aver Lishma. The Gemara in Nazir Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, right? talks about Avir Lishma, Gadol Avir Lishma, Mitzvah Shal Olishma, Gadol Maisa Shal Yael, and the Maisa of Yael was like that of the Imaos. Fine, so he compares it to Avir Lishma. Avir Lishma, as Rav Aaron notes in a wonderful passage in Leaves of Faith, no thinker has ever countenanced Avir Lishma practically. Footnote. See, however, Rambam. So, whatever. Rambam, fifth parak of the Shemoneh Brachim. It's a very problematic concept. The Rambam does, in fact, embrace it. It's a little bit scary. But Avir Lishma, right, without getting, again, into all the theological implications, what does Avir Lishma say?
No extra legal.
Exactly, right? It's, again, the same thing. The notion of Avir Lishma, the fact that sometimes you can do an Avira for the right reasons, and that's a great thing, again, recognizes that, right? Let's tease it out a little bit, right? There's a value beyond this local law, right, for which you can do, which is normally an Avera, to protect the system as a whole. Right? Again, I think it's the same thing, right? I think all these line up. I don't think, right, they're all mutually exclusive, though Avera Lishma definitely has a sort of a more harif ring to it. Yeah, there's fine. So that's sort of the first three as a unit, okay? Now, there is another way of taking this, and that is the way that many of the Chachmei Svar take it. I saw Moshe also put this on his Makar sheet, the Rajma in Nidarim. The Rajma in Nidarim derives it from where? So he notes, first of all, that there are two types of Akiras Darvar Minatara. There's Akiras Darvar Minatara with Navi, and Akiras Darvar Bezdin. Right? This concept exists in two forms, right? It can be, the Torah can be uprooted by a Navi, or it can be overrode by Chachamim. So, the Rajba in Nidarim Dav Tzadi, this I know Rav Moshe did, so where's the Rajba get it from? Please tell me people read Rav Moshe's Makar sheets, but I don't know. So the context there is The context there is a woman who claims that she's Tmeya, and Chazal say we don't believe her.
Because
Shemay Nasneid of Acher. I don't know who was talking to me about this. In fact, this is how we paskin, like, this is actually how Psak works, and it's really quite intense, right? That if a woman tells her husband that she's Mizaneh, right, the way this is Halechum Galgel through Psak, Rav Moshe Feinstein ends up saying that if he believes his wife, he's a kofar because he denies the umdinos of Chazal. And I kid you not that the way we actually deal with this is that often when women claim to have committed adultery, the response of the rabbi will be, okay, you have to go to marital therapy, but the husband's never allowed to believe the wife, so you have to go to marital therapy, but never actually believe that what your wife is telling you is true. You know, examine the flaws in the relationship that would lead her to claim this, but obviously it's a lie, right? Whatever. This is how, in fact, how we pass. To what extent we pass in this way, I'm not sure. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein passes. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not quite as gung-ho on this svara. I don't even know how to describe Rav Moshe's position. I really don't. Rav Shlomo Zalman is a little bit more tuned. But be clear on that is how we pass, okay? And the word says, well, and the question is, well, how do you do that, right? The problem is that there's an isser for a woman who committed zinos to be with her husband, and yet here we're permitting her. So the Rajba bases it, and the Rajba, the Ran, the Ritva, the Chokhmah, Isvar, base it on Akiras Darvar Minatara. And they say, Toch Kedei, how do we justify Akiras Darvar Minatara?
It's all from Navi.
By Navi, we learn it from a Pasuk. And we learn it from a Pasuk by Chachamim. Which one? Right? Let's look at the Rajba, right? This is 2D, right? Umistab really, so I think, right? The Tanai, the Bezdin Haya, it's a, right, the Bezdin, the Kedoshal, the Benosis, all Prutos, Mafkios, Asun, Miad Bahalayan, and the reason for this Takana is that women aren't capable of, right, forcibly ending their marriages, and Mishum Migdar Milsa, Tikun Hachi, and Mishum Migdar Milsa, right, that's Akira Sarvadara, right, the Bezdin Masan Lakarov and Atara, Kalhechad, go Mishum Migdar Milsa, Kedisa Bivamos, Karaki Isha. Right? So first we try to prove it from Eliyahu from Elav Tishmon, Dachin and Megdam Elsa Shiny, Vazamishvatahu, and then they try again. Skip down. Alma Kalhecha the Ekal Megdar Baha, Bezdin Mas, and Lakar Dharma Torah. Veloshacham Okran Dharma Torah, Midaitan, Elahad Mitzvah Torah, Lishmoa, El Divrea Shofed, Asher, Yeah, Vemim Mahim, Kol Shane Rowan, Lahatil Tzorach, Motor Min HaTorah. Right, so he says, where does it come from? Where does their power come from? From Lo Tasur, right? If Chazal are given the power of Lo Tasur, they're told you have to listen to them, right? So he thinks the logical extension of that is not just listen to them when they're trying to protect, when they're interpreting the Torah. Don't just listen to them when they're saying takanos that are beyond the Torah, but even listen to them when they tell you to violate the Torah. Because what does Lo Tasur Bikaron tell you?
Don't tassur from what they're saying. Even if it's contradicting
something else. I mean, Lo Tasur v'nadavar ashagidu l'cha yamin u'smol, because they are responsible for the Torah. So if they tell you that right now what the Torah needs is to violate the Torah, then don't, right, violate. Then don't, right, don't, God, don't violate their word, violate the Torah, right? Essentially, right, Rav Elchanan, I don't know if you got to see it in the Kuntres Tevei Sofrim, has a very radical read. Right? He notes that in fact there are two formulations in Chazal, of Lo Tasur and Davar Sheikidu L'cha Yom and Esmol. There's the very famous Sifrei, which Gir says in question, which is quoted by Rashi, which is, Lo Tasur and Davar Sheikidu L'cha Yom and Esmol, Afilu. Om L'cha Yom and Esmol, Esmol Shul Yom. The Gir says in the Sifrei is probably Afilu Nirim, right, only Nirim L'cha. Right, it seems that things which are right or left, that things that are left or right. What is less famous, even though it should be more famous, is that while the Sifrei may have a girsa that says that, right, there are two very important rabbinic works that reject that explicitly, and they are the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. Right, very important rabbinic works here. Right, Hurrios Daf Beis says that. Has the case of what is Hurrios talking about? I know you're wrong, Hurrios. What? Bezdin making a mistake. So the Mishnah has a case. Yitzi, I know you're doing Hurrios.
I'm right? Not anymore.
But you got to the Mishnah.
Yes, I did.
Good. So the Mishnah has a case of what? Of a case where a Chacham Shegiya Lahora'ah
disagrees,
and therefore they call Yisrael Bichayev, right, apart from the Davar Shel Tzibur, and he'll Bichayev separately. Because since he's a, right, he knows they're doing something wrong, he can't be counted amongst the people, so he can't get away with the national carbon. Yes? Good. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? If he's a chacham, so you have two choices. If he doesn't know that what Chazal, that what the Sanhedrin is paskin is wrong, then what?
He's the same as everyone else.
He's the same as everybody else. If he does know,
why didn't he make a mistake about it?
Then he's a mezid, and he doesn't get to bring a carbon. So what's the case where he's a shogeg, but not the same shogeg as everybody else? Ta b'shmoa mitzvah l'shmoa divrei chachamim. He made a mistake about the nature of the mitzvah of Lo Tasur. Meaning, he thinks Lo Tasur is even when Chazal say something's wrong, and he's wrong. Right? And therefore he's chayav a karban. It's explicit. If that wasn't explicit enough for you, the Yerushalmi is the same discussion. And it ends with the following line. Lo Tasur min ha-davar she'yigidu l'chayim min ha-shmoa. Yachal afil orman l'cha yamin shu small v'al smol shal yamin Talmud lomar lalechet yamin u small. Don't ask me where he got lalechet from, because that is not in our pasuk. But fine, lalechet yamin u small. Rak imorman l'cha yamin shu yamin v'al smol shu small. But the Yishami is very explicit here, right, against the Sifrei as Rashi quotes it. Parenthetically, if you are interested in where the lalechet came from, right, you can look. I have, you know, there's a tshuva, chelek gimel tshuva, either pe alef or pe beis in the Mam and the Hoel, and Rav Henkin has a tshuva also on it. I have some suggestions on it. It's a little bit complicated. The answer may be that the Yerushalmi had a different girsa in Qumran. I discovered they, in fact, do have the word lalechet in that pasuk. Mm-hmm. I came across that as b'mikreh, so it is possible. Who knows? I have no idea. Whatever. Over the summer, I came across this in Qumran. It was very odd. Okay. So
you were in, wait,
Yes, I was in Qumran. No, I was not in Qumran. Someone gave me a text that happened to be a translation of the pasuk from Qumran, and I realized that they had the same girsa the Yerushalmi seems to have. Great.
Obviously.
Can you
just,
where in the
Talmud
Yerushalmi is this? Can you
just read it? It's Hurriyos Daf Beis Amud Beis, Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, and then the Gemara is on Beis Amud Beis, and the Yerushalmi is the first halacha in Hurriyos Aleph Aleph. Okay. Again, the Malama of the whole is either Gimel Pei Aleph or Pei Beis. I think it's Pei Aleph. I remember. One of those. okay. So, right, let's say that Rav Elchanan is what, I don't know, maybe Rav Elchanan is what the Rashi meant, maybe it is, right, that there's two aspects, two lotasar. Sometimes lotasar is do what the Torah said, and sometimes lotasar is do what the Torah did not say, right? Right, that's his miyashivit, right? He says that the sifrei is akira sefer min haTorah. Sometimes if Chazal tell you we're going to uproot the Torah, do what, that, then you have to go, do what's right when it's left and left when it's right. Right? Under normal circumstances, when they claim that they're working along normal mechanisms, so then it means just follow the Torah. So the source, right, according to the Rashba, comes not from Svara, but directly from a Pasuk. But even according to the Rashba, presumably, right, why do Chazal have the power to uproot the Torah if their responsibility is to protect the Torah? Probably the same reason for the Rambam, right? I assume it comes to the same thing. Now, the Taj Beitz, which I know bothered you to say, for totally unrelated reasons, the Taj Beitz seems to say that it comes straight from their normal power to be mitaking things. So I assume that's all related. Okay, so that's just a quick skira of where it comes from. Okay, either straight from Svara, so it can be either way. I think it's fundamentally related to the same idea that Chazal are responsible to protect the Torah, and sometimes protecting something means, right,
destroying
it or part of it temporarily. Great. Okay. Now let's justify it quickly, theologically, and okay, and then we'll return to this. Okay, so remember the Rambam's mashal, right? The Rambam's mashal to justify the svara of akira sefer min haTorah is the doctor, medicine, right? Sometimes amputation, right, is the medical metaphor. Okay, so look. This is page 3. Look at page 3. Look at the Marna Vuchim here, okay? Okay, can someone else read this? I'm really dying here. Yeah, someone else read the Marna Vuchim. Good, go ahead. Yitzi.
One of the things that you likewise ought to know is that the Torah does not consider the isolated slash individual, and the command was not given with the view to minority cases. Rather, in everything that is required, it's accomplished be an outcome for an action that is effective. Only the things that are a majority are considered, and no attention is paid to something that rarely occurs, nor to the damage that will occur to an individual human because of that decree and Torah governance. For the Torah is a divine thing, and therefore you can learn about it from natural things, where the general utilities found in them include or necessarily entail private damages, as has been explained in our words and in the words of others. On the basis of this distinction, you should not be astonished that the purposes of the Torah are not fulfilled in every individual. Rather, it follows necessarily that there will be people whom that Torah governance does not bring to perfection, as the forms of natural species do not achieve all that necessarily follows from them in each individual member of the species. For everything comes from one deity and one actor, we're given from one shepherd, and the reverse of this is impossible, and we have already explained that the impossible has a fixed nature that will never change. Furthermore, on the basis of this distinction, it would not be proper for the commandments to be influenced by the changing conditions of human beings and the times, in the way that the preparation of medicines is influenced, with each preparation specific to each individual in accordance with his mixture of humor at that particular time. But rather, it is appropriate for Torah governance to be absolute and completely general, even though this will be negative for some people and not negative for others, for if it were according to the individual, there would be a loss for all, and you would give in your words by degrees. For this reason, it is inappropriate for matters in the Torah aimed at immediate purposes to be bounded by time or place, but rather the laws should be absolute and framed generally. As the Exalted said, the congregation, there shall be one statute for you. And their intent is the general utilities, which relate to the majority, as we have explained.
Several people asked to record, so at least there should be an audible recorder. Okay? So the Rambam sets forth, and I mentioned this Wednesday, a very radical theory about the nature of Torah law. None of that's going to help. Whatever. It's okay. You can hear me? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So the Rambam sets forth a very radical theory of law. Not that radical. I think it's true, but sure. It seems radical. Which is, law we can derive from natural law. Right? This is a theory, by the way, throughout Marna Vuchim, that God institute laws in the world, two types of laws, legal laws and natural laws, right? Torah and the world, which you see throughout Tehillim, by the way, right, they're going back and forth. The theory of the Rambam, okay? And he makes a claim. Law, in general, is aimed at generalities. Right? We mentioned this on at the end on Wednesday, that law is meant to protect a certain body of values for most people in most times, but the nature of law, right, the strength of law is its weakness. Right? The strength of law is that because it's general, it can last forever, right? And it can last for and it can apply to everyone, and therefore can maximize when the values are protected. But the weakness of law is that when you speak in generalities, what happens? Good. There are details that suffer. Okay? That's his theory of law. But then the Rambam does something very interesting. And he says, and since that's the nature of law, it's distinct from what field of study?
Medicine.
Torah is not medicine. Because medicine is, by definition, aimed at
the individual.
Right? If you are allergic to penicillin, I don't care if penicillin helps most people. I give you something else. Right? I don't want you to die. Right? And I don't say, most people are not allergic to penicillin, and penicillin will cure them, so I'll give it to you, and it'll cure you, and if you die, no, nishkeferlach. Right? We don't say that. That's not the point of medicine. Right? Great. Follow the mashal with me. The Torah is not medicine. Because medicine is aimed at the individuals. Okay? But what is medicine? Well, specifically, Akira's Davram and Torah. Meaning, what's the theory of the Rambam? It's very brilliant. Right? Torah in its totality is not medicine. Because Torah in its, right, the theoretical, pristine Torah that exists in the noumenal worlds. We know noumenal, we know Plato. Fine, forget it. Right? That exists in the abstract. Okay? The abstract Torah is unchanging, is forever. But sometimes, right, and because the Torah is forever, it's only good for most people in most times, but not all people in all times. If the aberration is not so bad, so you just say, kacha. Right? That's just the way it is. Law, it works in generalities. But if the aberration in a certain time, at a certain place, is so great that it threatens the entirety of Torah, then what? Meaning, it's only the theoretical law which doesn't pay attention to particulars. But the reason Chazal have the ability, if they need to uproot it, to perform a medical procedure on the Torah, so to speak, is because sometimes the aberration is so bad that it threatens the integrity of the whole. And if you remember the Radbaz's mashal, who's the body? Klal Yisrael and the Torah. If the body is in its entirety in danger, then Chazal are able to override the abstract Torah temporarily to keep the Torah, and Klal Yisrael healthy. Right? So I think, right, because, right, that's the theory behind Akira's Dover Minat Torah, is that it remain in the abstract, the Torah is forever, but sometimes you need to protect the abstract Torah by having the ability to uproot it. Okay, I gave you a few more Rambams here. Whatever, he gets to the same point. I don't want to be mitakev on it. You can read it, but he uses this mashal in other places. The third place, by the way, where he uses this mashal is by Aveir Lishma, which should make sense. Right, that there are certain people who can even do it, but again, I don't want to get into that. But you see the basic theory. Okay, so Ad Kan, the theory behind Akira Sofer Minat Torah. Okay, once we have the theory on the table, right, even before we get into the details of it, right, what already becomes very clear, which of the big limitations on the Gears of Minotaur becomes very, very clear why it exists? Time. The Shah versus Lidoros. Right, because the whole point is that Akira Samantara isn't violating the integrity of the theoretical system, it's protecting the integrity of the theoretical system by temporarily abrogating it. But if you were to do it forever, what would you be trying to do? Not, right, fix a local problem, what would you be trying to affect? Exactly. The theoretical Torah. And that you can't do. Right? Right. Did I put this? No. And right, parenthetically, right, that's the Rambam's theory of Baal Tosef. Right, what's the Rambam's theory of Baal Tosef? Right, for the Rambam, when do you violate Baal Tosef? Right, do you get it? Great. Baruch Hashem. When does the Rambam say you violate Baal Tosef? Very famous sheet to the Rambam.
When you
add
a mitzvah by yourself, and when you...
No, when Chazal add a mitzvah, and...
When you change the...
And don't tell you that it's Dirabanan. Meaning when they pretend to add something to the Torah. Where does the Rambam get that from? It's part of one theological picture for the Rambam. Is Chazal don't have the ability to change the theoretical Torah. They can add a gzera, that's their right. But what they can do is make you think that their addition is part of that abstract, noumenal body we call Torah. Okay? Good. So now to the sugya, now to the, right, sugya itself. So the Gemara says, Yesh, koach v'yachom lakar dov min haTorah. So the Gemara, right, this, I don't want to get, right, with the cave in the Gemara, but, right, because I assume you've seen it many times at this point, right? The Gemara raises several possibilities, several cases that might be akiras dov min haTorah. So the first one is?
Truma.
Truma. What's the case?
Your mafish, maze,
right? And now it should work, right? Don't raise it, it's a bad thing, but it should work. And Chazal make it that it's chozer litivulo, right? It's chozer to the state of Tevel. And the Gemara suggests from here we should derive Yeish koach vecham lakar min haTorah. The Gemara rejects it by saying,
it's still true. That you have to be mafresh, but it's not true.
Right, meaning that, no, you, it's true, but you have to be mafresh again. Right, it's not that it's chozer l'tivulo, fine. Then the Gemara brings another possibility.
The karban?
What's the order here?
There's one before that.
It brings the case of the person who marries a katana, right? Where the marriage is only the rabbanan, and how does the husband inherit? Right, because really her family should inherit because the husband's not really related to her because the marriage doesn't work. Whereas it doesn't approve of Kira Sarah and Torah and says, no, Hefker Besen Hefker. Okay, then the Gemara says the case of the Karban, which is
you are Zorek Dam Tame.
You're Zorek Dam Tame.
It's still successful.
Minatora, it works. Minatora, it doesn't work.
Which
means you have to bring another chatas. So, I care so much. I don't think more answers.
You
don't have to bring another chatas. Good. Then the Gemara tries again. What does it bring this time?
Seven other cases.
Yeah, it keeps going. Right? And each time it says, ah, this and Machim Nam Shum Shum Din. Ah, this, that. Ah, Eliobar Carmel. And then the Gemara says, Elav Tishmun and Migdar Milsa Shiny. Where's the Gemara goes through all these cases? Okay? Sorry, there's one big stitch in the middle. Shiva. Then the Gemara says, what about Kilayim Betzitzis? What about Mila? What about, right? All these cases, right? Ismail, right? Ismail Bashabas. All these cases where we tell you, even though Midar Raisa, you're allowed to do a Mila, right? To prepare, do certain preparations for Mila on Shabbos, we don't let you. Or, it, right, etc., etc. And the Gemara answers?
Sheva
Al Tasa is different. And then the Gemara brings the Elio case and says, Migdar Milsa Shiny. Right? So there are, yes. Right? And the Gemara phrases it how? El Fisha Atzar Tzricha Lekach. Right? Migdar Milsa Shiny. Right? Okay. So, the limitations that we have, according to the Gemara, are what? Right. So the Gemara, at one point, says, Akir Zara Zara only works with Sheva Al Tasa. Kadireh. Right, Sheva Al Tasa Shiny, and it claims what else? This is Migdar Milsa, and it claims that it can't be Lidoros. Those are the three big exceptions to Akira Stavim Natura. So let's take each one of them in turn. Okay. But before we do that, right? Did anyone see the Ritva? Okay. Didn't get that far.
Isn't opposed to the Rosh
Hashanah? I gave you the Chuvas HaRitva Cafe. What? Chlusha Ritva or the Tshuva, which is clearer. He knows that there are two Girsos in the Migdar Mils HaShaini. What are the two Girsos?
Migdar Mils HaShaini
or El Migdar Mils HaShaini. Migdar Mils HaShaini or El Migdar Mils HaShaini. Good. Tell me the difference grammatically between those two.
One is a reason, one is rather the opposite.
Meaning what?
When it says Allah, that means there's an assumption we're going, we've been using this entire wire that we need to change. Whereas Migdar Mils HaShaini is just saying that case is the case of Har Carmel, or the case of Eilat Hashemahud, and is talking about a very specific case of Migdar Mils HaShaini. El Migdar Mils HaShaini is saying that would only, that it's always okay in the case of Migdar Mils HaShaini.
Exactly. Meaning, I think there's two possibilities. When it says Migdar Mils HaShaini, does it mean that Eliyahu Bar Carmel is not precedent for all the other cases we were talking about? Because that is a different thing. That's not normal Akira Sarantara. That's what we call Migdar Mils HaShaini, right? Because there, was it Shev El Tasa? Yeah. No. Right? Ela Migdar Mils HaShaini means?
We must learn Migdar Mils HaShaini.
Rather, really, you can have a curious stuff from an Atara as long as Migdar Mils HaShaini. Right? Now, there's a big nafkamina, which he notes within Shitas HaRambam. Right? There were two big rules that came up earlier in the Gemara. There was Hefker Bezin Hefker. There was Makin Rosh Hashem Shlomin Adin. Actually, there were three. There was Afkin Rabban Likidushin Minei. Right? Limaskana. Right? The Gemara had suggested that the case of the person who married the Ketana is a function of Akira Sofen HaTorah. And the Gemara says, no, it's Hefker Best and Hefker. Great. Once you get to the end of the Gemara, right? So, if I asked you, Hefker Best and Hefker, is it a function of Akira Sofen HaTorah or not?
Seems like it's not.
No, it's a puzzle.
It's a puzzle connection.
So it's a totally in these Girsos. That's what the Ritva points out. Right? If you think Elo Migdar Mils HaShaini, meaning all those cases when we said, oh, there's no Akira Sofen HaTorah, and then the Gemara said, no, there really is, as long as it's Migdar Mils HaShaini. So then what? Hefker Best and Hefker. Even though it is another pasuk from Ezra, Bikaron, what is it? Akira Sofen HaTorah. And if you think Migdar Mils HaShaini, then we maintain the fact that no, Akira Sofen HaTorah is really not. Right? Hefker Best and Hefker is not Akira Sofen HaTorah, it's something else. Right? The Rambam holds that Hefker Best and Hefker is Akiras Davram and HaTorah. How do I know? Right, because the Rambam in Perek Chav Dalid, right, groups together Hefker Best and Hefker, Makim Don Shun Shlom and Adin, which, while the Rambam never uses the phrase of Akira Davram and HaTorah in Perek Chav Dalid of Sanhedrin, where does he? In Mamrim Beis Dalid, where he references you back and says, those cases of Makim Don Shun Shlom and Adin, right, everything there in Perek Chav Dalid is Hakiras Tavra Min HaTorah. Right, that's what he does. Right, that's what the Ritva points out. Right, many other Rishonim take this not this way. The big nafkamina is going to be by Hefker Bes and Hefker. Do you need the justification of Migdar Mils, whatever that means? Yes or no? Right, right. So you have to be very careful when you read this Gemara. Right, when you get to the Maskana, the simple way. How do you read Migdar Mils? Is it saying that there's Akira Zavram and HaTorah, which is a not general rule, but a quasi general consistent rule, and then there's something even more extreme than Akira Zavram and HaTorah called Migdar Mils HaShaini, right? Or no, Akira Zavram and HaTorah itself is under the rubric of Migdar Mils, and the nafkamina is going to be what justifications do you need for something like Hefker Bes and Hefker, right? How much pressure do you need to be put under in order to justify that being implemented? Okay, fine. Yes.
I'm not getting it.
How would
you conclude, even if you don't see it, say Ella? How exactly would you conclude that it's not that, like, how is that Bezin can't
So the way the Ritva presents it is, right, what type seems to be presented, though it's not 100% clear, is what level of pressure you would need to implement these rules. Right? If you look, I put the Shuvah Sarit, if I did, right? Did I put the Shuvah Sarit, if I did, right?
Second page?
Somewhere. Or did I just put the Ritva in? Or did I just put the Ritva in Alatar? Maybe. I didn't really. Right, Pierre Rashi, Shiny Hasim, Josu Kinlet. Lasos gather with Dagon Chayisrok, it was a Shivim Yahudar, Velchen, the Kamanchi, Brutzen Barayas, whose Aldam Shivis Shabbos, Abba Alma, Love, Yishbeer, Elemig, the Mosa Shani Klomer, the Lolum Shabber, Gamin, Mine, Betrits, Haki, the Hassan, Migam, Lisha, Alagra, and Herlodoros, Love, Chain Hilch, the Shave Altasa, Besden Okran, Ophil, Tazazar Hasha, after Mamal Olam, of Alagra, the Herlodoros, Ain Lam Rishras. Right, so the Rishba seems to, and this is clearer in the Tshuva, I think that, look, if you think Elemig, the Mosa Shani, then, right? Elio Bar Carmel is on the same retzef as everything else, right? So, like, you know, if you need to, as long as it's not Lidoros, right? Everything, it's basically, you can do anything you need to do, right? If it's Migdar Milsa, right? You don't need, like, some earth-shattering thing, like, all like Elio Bar Carmel, well, all of Klal Yisrael is going to, like, go off the derech. That's all you need to justify. Justify it, like, it's on the same retzef as everything else, right? If you think...
There's no Elio, it's just a paraphrase of Joshua.
It's just a claim that like the Elio is a sui generis case, right? Which in fact is, right? That type of active whatever has nothing to do with normal Akiras Darvim HaTorah, right? It's clear in the Tshuva. I agree with you. It's hard to pin down, right? Because it's clear, right? You wouldn't be Akiras Darvim HaTorah for no reason, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, the Gemara assumes that you can from Navi Dvezin, right?
The Gemara does, yes. The Gemara does assume that, yes.
So the Gemara is willing to say that Navi is willing to be not technically
Okra Davin Torah, but the Navi is allowed to do something against the Torah. Yeah. Correct, and this is clear in the Tshuva. I agree with you, right? I mean, I assume, and the Ritva does assume this, that no matter how you read the Gemara, right, you're not going to be Okra Davin Torah for no reason, but still, the Ritva seems to assume that the extent, the level of pressure you need, right, right? Do we actually learn from Elio Carmel, or is there certain times when we can do things that wouldn't be justified under normal rules of Akiras Darvim HaTorah, right? And then you need a really, 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 really big pressure. The difference is not that much, right? But he does note that, right? In the parallel cases, right? The Hefker Bes and Hefker, an example, right? For example, right? How much does the Torah have to be threatened, right? For you to implement Hefker Bes and Hefker? Do you think it's like every other Akira Sarvana Torah, in which case you really think the Torah is in jeopardy? Or is it basically like, look, Chazal have the ability to do that because they're control of the monetary system, right? And that's some another power they have, right? It's not uprooting the Torah, it's just they have power over the monetary system, right? And it's not under the rubric of it, right? There you see the difference more, right? When you go not to other cases of Akira Sarvana Torah, which are always on this sort of rubric of Migdar Milsa, right? In some way, shape, or form, but you see it in Mamanos, right? Do you think that Chazal really need to see a threat to the Torah system to implement Hefker Bes and Hefker or not? Right? Do you think that that's just a koach they have because they need to run, right, the monetary system?
The case of Yerusha Sabal is probably somewhat exceptional
Correct. The case of Yerusha Sabal is, but regular Hefker Bes and Hefker is not.
Right.
Right? And it's the same klal.
Because we seem to have a value in classical, dare I say, Yerusha.
Yeah. No, for sure, that's why that's picked, because that one is much more difficult. But right, if you think that in the end of the day, all of Hefker Bes and Hefker is under the same rubric, then you always need to find a justification like that, right? Which is harder. Okay, but you know, you can look at the Ritva, you'll see that he goes through it. Okay. Good. So the big limitations on Akiras Darvim HaTorah. First one: Kum Vase Shev Vi Al Tase. Define it for me. Kum Vase Shev Vi Al Tase. You can only be Akiras Darvim HaTorah. Shave al tasa. Great. Explain that to me. So Tosos says, right? What does Tosos say? Good. People saw Tosos. Please. Yes? Yes? No? Good. No, I'm telling me what Tosos says.
Basically, it's all dependent on the way that the Avera is violated.
Tosos depends on the way, right? So give me an example, right? Let's the example for people who haven't seen the Tosos. His specific question is what?
Is for tzitzis, right?
Right. So one of the examples in the list of the Gemara, right? What about this, and this, and this? Right? Can we explain by Shev Al Tasa? Is kilayim mitzitzis, right? So he says, what's the case?
Is you're wearing kilayim mitzitzis? Meaning
you're wearing kilayim mitzitzis. You're wearing kilayim.
A beggar without tzitzis.
You're wearing a beggar without tzitzis. Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're violating something actively. You're actively putting on tzitzis.
Good. You're actively putting on tzitzis, right? And
it's called a shev al tasa anyways.
It's called a shev al tasa, right? Is it called a shev al tasa anyways?
It's right. Technically that you're not violating it when you're putting it on. So it's not...
Exactly. Tosos answers, right? Said you might think that when you put on the tzitzis, and therefore you're violating the shanis, because Chazal in this case told you you don't have to put on the tzitzis, et cetera. What comes out is that, right, you're now wearing a beged, which doesn't have tzitzis.
It's a violation.
Right? So he says, Now, why?
Because you're only violating it when you're physically wearing it, and then you're not doing anything.
Exactly, because he says, no, the Maisa Mitzvah, right, is the wearing and not the putting on, right? And therefore, the Maisa Avera is also, right, wearing it and not putting on. So, Tosfos has a technical answer. But what's Yotze from Tosfos? That he thinks that, right? How do we define Kumbase Shevi Al Tasa? We define it.
How you violate
practically, that? Right? Did I or did I not do an action to violate the Torah? Right? Right? If I put on the tzitzis, right, I did an action. I don't care if, what am I doing? I'm being mavatla nase. Right? So technically, what am I violating? I'm violating by not doing a mitzvah. It doesn't matter. Right? I'm violating the mitzvah. Actively. Right? If I actively violate a mitzvah, I put on tzitzis. And therefore, I put on a beged rather without tzitzis. Even though the avera really is passive. Doesn't matter, I violate it through an action. Then Tosfos' answer is no, putting it on is not the avera. Wearing is the avera. He has a technical way of getting around it. But Bikaron, what does he think? It means kum ba'aseh v'altaseh. It means
practically.
Great. Shagas Aryeh says, and it's not originally Shagas Aryeh, it's really originally. What?
It's the Rambam.
Well, yes, if the actual formulation of Shagas Aryeh is found before him. If you look in the Kovachitas Kamai, in Rabbeinu Brachia, Achiv Shel Rabbeinu Brachia of Londiras, or something like that. Great, I don't know who that is. I found it in the Kovachitas Kamai. Hey, apparently, no one else knows who he is either. He's known only as the brother of someone who I also never heard of. So, whatever, Gaza, right? Shagas Aryeh says, no, how do you define, and yes, Rambam might also all this, right? How do you define Kumbase Sheval Tasa? Not practically, did I do an action, did I not do an action, but how?
The nature of the Avera.
The nature of the Avera, meaning?
For example, in Ria, right? If
well, let's start with the Tzitzis case. According, right, how does Shagas Aryeh critique it?
Because says, the nature of the Avera of Tzitzis is you're wearing a baguette. But the problem is you didn't actively put on the tzitzis, right? So the avera was passive, right? Because you didn't do something.
Good. He says, look, what are you talking about, Tosfos? What are you telling me? That, oh, I put on the beged. I violated the mitzvah actively. What are you talking about? What is the avera of tzitzis? Is it putting on a beged? No, it's an asay. What's the asay? If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you have to wear tzitzis. So if Chazal tell me, don't wear tzitzis, then what are they telling me? Right? Be mevatel and asay. They're not telling me to violate. They're telling me don't do something. I understand. I put on a beged. Great, I put on a beged. Be karon. What am I doing? So I'm not doing. Right? Be karon. If I look at the nature of the Yisra, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing something. I'm not wearing tzitzit and a beged. Right? There's no law in the Torah. Don't wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzit. There's a chiyuv in the Torah. If you have a four-cornered garment, wear tzitzit. Right? You don't look at the practically, did I do it via Dayim? Or did I, are you looking at Bikaron? What am I doing? Right? Bito mitzvah zasei is Shevi al Tasa, passively violating, meaning not being Makayim a mitzvah chazal, and that we don't do something. Right? Yes, Bikaron, I'm doing it through physically, actively putting on a beged. Great. But Bikaron, I'm not wearing tzitzis. I'm not wearing tzitzis, right? I'm not actively, right, going against tzitzis. I'm just not wearing it. Right? You look not at the practical way that you violated, but you look at the fundamental. Right? So, why would you say one and why would you say the other? So, Elchanan very nicely connects this to a different question. Why are Chazal limited to Shevi Al Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh? Right? Why would you say that they're limited to this?
What the nature of Akira?
So, right, what does he say? There are two reasons, right? You could say, why would I be limited only to Mabat, Okir, Dabra, Torah, Bin, or the Shevi Al Tasa? Did anyone here, and this side, read the Rol Chanan? Yes, what does he say?
It's either Omer, or it's that we also have a concept of Lotasa.
Right, meaning
listening to Rabban.
Right, right, so he said there's two ways of understanding it. One is to say, look, Chazal are actually, when they're Okir, Dabra, and Torah, what does it mean, Okir, Dabra, and Torah? It means they're uprooting the Torah. So, if they're actually uprooting the Torah, so you have to put in rules, right? You're allowed to uproot the Torah if it's Chomer X, but not Chomer X plus 5, right? And Shevi Al Tasas are Chomer X, and Kumbases are X plus 5. And Chazal, their power is limited, right? They're only allowed to do X, the same way a Navi is allowed to violate everything in the Torah except for Avodah Zarah, right? Because that's just out of his power. So Chazal are limited by this thing called Kolmaseh versus Shevel Tazeh. It's the Chomer, right? Chazal only have a certain number of powers, and they're limited, and at a certain point, their power breaks down. The other possibility is to say, no, Chazal are not, when they tell you to violate something by Shevel Tazeh, what are they telling you? They're not uprooting the Torah at all. What are they doing?
Stay home under your covering.
Exactly. What are they doing? They're saying, we are going to create a stalemate. Right? We are going to tell you, look, on the one hand, the Torah tells you, do the mitzvah. On the other hand, you're obligated to listen to us, and we tell you, don't do X. So what do?
Don't do nothing.
Repeat your formulation.
Stay home.
You stay home under your covers, and you know nothing. Right? I don't know what to do. God says one thing, but God told me to listen to Rabban, and they said, do the other thing. I don't know what to do. And what's the rule always? The best thing to do when you're stuck is don't do anything. Better to say, right? That's always the greatest rule in life, right? Don't do anything. Right? But that's what Rosh Hashanah says, right? So Rosh Hashanah says, and the questions are talui zeh bazeh. Right? If you think that the reason Chazal are limited by Sheveal Taseh is because Chazal's power are limited. They're only able to uproot certain things. So then what are you looking at? You're looking at the nature of the Isser, right? Chazal have the ability to tell you to be Mevatel Aseis, but they don't have the ability to tell you to violate a law. Right? That's their power. And therefore, you look at, not practically what am I doing, but you look Pikaron, right? What are they telling me to do? Are they telling me to eat chazir? Or are they telling me to not wear tzitzis? Right? And that's it. Right? And therefore, even if, yes, I violated it, basay, right, I put on the tzitzis, doesn't matter. They have the ability to tell me I don't have to, or I can be mekayim mitzvas asay. Okay? If you think that, no, what does Akiras Devar Min HaTorah mean? B'Shev Al Taseh. It means that it's not in Akira, right? Chazal, right? What is the Gemara doing when it says Shev Al Taseh, not Komaseh? It's saying, Bikaron, Chazal, do not have the ability to uproot the Torah. All they have the ability to do is put me in a stalemate, right? To make it that I have two competing forces, and therefore de facto I have to do nothing. Then what do you look at? Not the nature of the answer. Not is it Naseh or Allah. But rather, what do you look at? Practically, are they telling me to do something or are they telling me to not do something? If they're telling me to not do something, so fine, I'm stalemated. If they're telling me to do something, I can't. Yitzi.
Well, I can think of an example right now. I feel like there is one, though. Would it not come to be if, say, the Chacham tell you to say Shev Al Taseh in a case where there's an essay and a lo essay?
Yes, right. I think I know what you're saying. And I think Rav Chanan has a nafkamin like this, right? Rav Chanan has a nafkamin in both directions, right?
I'm not sure if he brings this one.
Rav Chanan has a nafkamin in both directions, right? He just brings the machlokas between Shagas Aryeh and Tosfos, and he brings Rias Panei Abayas, right? Akora is going into the Beis HaMikdash without a karban, right? In Aseh, right? Is it Kuvim Aseh or Shevi Al Taseh? Right? On the one hand, the lav is not having a karban. But how did you get there? You walked in. Right? Is that an Akira? Is it not an Akira? Right? But he brings a case in the opposite direction, which is...
He's in the diary, but I don't think it works well.
No, it's a neder. It's a very clever case.
It's
a neder that, what is it? If I eat today... If I eat tomorrow, then I have to eat. Yeah?
If I don't eat tomorrow,
right, if I don't eat tomorrow, then I... Yeah, no, if I don't eat tomorrow... What is it? How does it work? It's a very complicated case. I'll get it. This is like a... One of those, like, you have to stand in your head and, like, figure out what he said. Right. I won't eat this today if I don't eat it tomorrow. So I eat it today and then I don't eat... Tomorrow, I violated it actively yesterday by eating when I wasn't going to do it in the future.
You didn't violate it actively yesterday. You violated it when you don't do it the next day.
It's a problem. He comes to the kitchen. I'm not convinced that there is enough to be in this director. It's clever, but okay. Now, I will leave this for anyone who's interested. Right? And so, who are my MTA boys here? Right, you're a Bacon, right, Tanachum Cohn. Here, I made a copy for you guys, right? Has a beautiful article where he points out that this machlokes runs through Ashkenaz and Sfard going back to the time of the Gaonim, right? Not just, right, with the Gaonim, which are associated with Ashkenaz, follow the Ashkenazi Pesach, follow Tosfos, that we're talking practically, and the Sfardim going back to Rabbi Hananel, passing the other way, right here, okay, right here. Anyone else is free to read it, but here, my MTA boys, right here, right, Cohn's article, I printed it out for you, right? it's a very good, really, really very, very nice article. And I'll just give you the example in the Gaonim. I'll give you a few examples, right? He notes, for example, that this comes up by the sugya of, in Brachos Yutes, of Akira's the dav are by kavod abrios, right? The Gemara says there that you can, under certain circumstances, violate laws by kavod abrios, right? And the Tosfos and the Chacham Sfard argue there, right? So Gemara says there, right? Amar Yudim Rav, Amotzi Kilan Bevigdo, Post Rafil Bashuk, right? If you find Kilan in the Beged, right, you have to pull it off even Bashuk, right? Even though there is a violation of kavod abrios, And then Gemara says, the Gemara ends up saying the Kavod Abrios is Nidche B'Shevi Al Tase B'Nav B'Kom Vase. Okay, and he notes there that the Ritva and the Rajva think that what does it mean? It means that they can tell you to Mevatel a Mitzvah Sase, but they can't tell you to violate a Lav. And Tosfos tells you, right, that you can't do something active, but you can't do something passive. Or they can tell you to be passive. You can do something passive, rather. Okay? You can look at it. I printed it out. Right? It's very, very nice. It goes through this very, very carefully. It's 14 pages long. Right? It's beautiful. Okay? Really, really, very, very nice. Okay. Fine. we have 11 minutes because we started 2 minutes late. Okay? Fine. Second limitation, okay? Second limitation let's take Lashah L'Doros. Good. So the Gemara says also, Akira's Dara only works Lashah and not L'Doros. Translate the words Lashah for me, my grammarians. Right? Lashara. Or?
Temporarily for the present situation.
Good, l'shah either means temporarily or it means litzorech hashah, right? For the time, right? Either for a time or for the time, right? Right? What's the difference? Meaning, one of them says that the limitation of Akira's Sefer from that Torah is
temporary.
I can only do it temporarily. The other one says I can do it as long as it's necessary. Right? But theoretically, even?
Forever.
So, let's go to Gzeiros Derabanan. Are there any Gzeiros Derabanan which tell you that you should violate things forever?
Sure.
Shofar on Shabbos. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Ever. Right? Ever. Do we always re-question it and say, this year doesn't make sense. Now is it doesn't make sense to say that we won't blow shofar on Shabbos, Gzeira, that someone might go blow a find someone to tell them, to teach them to blow shofar, and they'll carry the shofar for Shosa Rabim Doraisa. No, we just don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So, right, that's what we do.
That might be a good example because Litzara still exists.
Does it? Good. So how do you understand it? Right? So why is it we can do it? So to speak, Lidoros. So. So, let's look. Right? Let's skip down to section 9. There we go. Section 9. Right? Oy. The Rambam says, Yom Tov Shor Shonish Chalios B'Shabbos Ein Tokim Shofar B'Chol Makom. Gimel Tes, someone read Kesef Mishnah.
דבר גאב דסיגנה בפרקש רבא דדפקה במידי דשב אל תייס מצו רבא ניקרא מידי דאורייתא, right? Even though in פרקש רבא the whole back and forth only in שב אל תייס we סבר חכמים קביעים דבר מן התורה, אבל לא מידי דהבי בקומסאי. ואחי נמי אמרי דלדעת רבינו אין נדרים ושבועות חלים על חנוכה ופורים, and we said otherwise, right? That if you make a nidar not to eat, right? חנוכה ופורים, you still have to eat. וקום עשהו, שראינו אומרים קום אחול, right? You have to eat. יש לומר, אמרין על אתם, במיגדר מילתא, מצו איקרי מידי דאורייתא, אפילו בקום עשהו. אבל לפעמים אמרת, they can do קום עשהו, וחיזו לדברי חכמים בכל מה שדיברו בו. אף על גב דולה הבי במיגדר מילתא, it's not an actual migdal milta gorem lekem divrayim be migdal milta she'im hayim mezazvim be'chad min divrayim matu lezazul lebekulu hilkach kol mid deha v'chizuk ledivrayim eve kmo migdal milta
good
basically
good so the Maratzchias points this case of Mishnah. Maratzchias, I mentioned to some people, has a wonderful book which you should all read maybe one day, right, called Toras Nevi'im, which is this 150-200 page book on Akira's government, Torah, Benafi, and Bimelech, and the Sanhedrin, and etc., 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 which he explains in his introduction. Why did I write this book called Torah's Nevi'im? So, as I point out, this is the longest, most lundish, polemical work that has ever been written. And he says, there are these new Jews, the reformers, who are being Okir Dover Minatorah. That's not Akira's Dover Minatorah. Let me explain to you what Akira's Dover Minatorah is. This was, I don't know if this was effective polemics, I have no idea, right? But in response to reform, he writes a 150-page, 200-page book on the nature of Akira's Minat Torah, which is incredibly dense. Incredibly dense, right? But he notes that according to the Kesef Mishnah, how do you read the words L'shal L'daros? Zitzorech Hasha'ah. And therefore, Ki'ilu, every generation, since it's still necessary, it Mimela takes effect again, right? It's not that you can't, you have to do things temporarily. It needs that you constantly need to be able to justify it. Right? It needs to be l'tzorech hasha'ah hazot. And if I can say it makes sense now, right? It can even go in theory forever. Why? If you go back to our original justification, right? Why does that make sense? Because if you think that Akira is ever in a Torah, what's the problem with Akira is ever in a Torah? You're allowed to do something as long as it doesn't impugn the theoretical nature of Torah. Then as long as you don't make the claim that necessarily this always needs to exist, all you do is you claim that at the moment, even if this moment is 3,000 years, right, there are extenuating circumstances that constantly require l'tzorech hasha'ah, you're, even though it's kimat l'doros, it's not impugning the theoretical nature of Torah because it's saying it's justified now. Right? What's the more pashut answer, though? Why are these takanos mutter l'doros? Because they're shev el taseh. And as we said before, shev el taseh can be qualified in two ways. One is by saying that it's practical. It just means you're not being okir because they're putting you in a stalemate. They're not uprooting anything. Or you can judge it fundamentally. Which way does the Rambam say explicitly? Where did it go? Where did it go? It fell on the floor. Oh, you have it. You have mine? What does the Rambam say? Perish of Mishnayos. In Zvachim. V'amru v'lo asisi v'adecha. Rome is alkol she'inu mishum matan arba. Lefi shahimanut mila asot. Eino ma'aseh. He's very clear. Why is it that Shevi al-Taseh is mutter? Because it is not an uprooting. It's a himanut. You're not doing something. That's not called Akira. Period. Right? So it seems to me that while the Maratzchias and the Kesef Mishnah think that for the Rambam the reason is because L'sha is defined as L'tzorech hasha'ah, it's not true. The reason the Rambam thinks it's mutter is because things which are passive are not Akiras Davra Minat Torah. Right? What the Gemara is being Mechadish at that stage, the Gemara is saying that really we don't hold of Akiras Davra Minat Torah. Akira's Dover Minat Torah, B'Shev Al-Taseh, is a misnomer. It's not an Akira at all. Okay.
Then you go back to the Kesef Mishnah comments about the Neder for Hanukkah, so you would hold that also.
Yes. Okay. Make two more points. Fine. Two more points. First of all, we've been assuming that Akira's Dover Minat Torah only works B'Shev Al-Taseh. Who challenges this assumption? And this, I know Rav Moshe said in his Makaros, and I know he said it in Shokali. So, please, tell, somebody tell me, right? Who, very important, challenges this notion? The Yerushalmi, passing explicitly in Gittin, that, yesh, koach vechum lakar dover atarav kum mazay, period. Good. Now, who else paskins it? Now we come back to our sugya. Tosfos. Tosfos says that be karon, you're not allowed to be karon, come and say, unless you really, really need to. Great. Very, very, very coherent sheet to hear. Right? Right? Unless you really, really need to. Where did Tosfos get that from? Yeah, exactly. Got it from the Gemara Yevamos. That really we don't try to do that. But if poof comes to shove, make their mills to shiny. Eliyahu Karma Bahar Karmel. Kumbase or Shev El Tase. Kumbase. Satozma says be karon. If you really, really need to, we pass in kumbase. It's just that in general we don't like being ogre to Medoro. Fine, but if you need to, you can. Satozma says another formulation in several places where he says. It's not just if you really, really need to, but you're allowed to be okay with a Torah with something he calls a Dabar Hadoma. What's a Dabar Hadoma?
Something that has like already a...
Where it seems like you're not doing it, right? God, what do you want from me? Right? I didn't make it up. Joseph says this most clearly in Nazir Mem Gimel, but he says it also in Yevamos. He says, for example, right, if I expand, right, I'll use the example in Yevamos, I expand who is accepted to testify that a woman is husband has died. So Tosfos, it's mutter. It's kumbase. I'm telling her to get married. And Darais, I have no evidence that her husband is dead. So he says, it's Dabar Hadoma. It looks like it's Darais. Just look, I'm just expanding it just anyways. Right? And it makes sense. So it's not an Akira. What? Right? Why does that work? So I remember... I remember hearing Shir from Rosh Hashanah about this. He's in one of his books also. Why does it work, Dabar Hadoma? Because if you think the problem with the Kira Sefer HaTorah is what? That you're violating the Torah, you're opposing the Torah. So let's say in theory it's okay, it's kumbase. But what does Dabar Hadoma mean? You're not setting up something against the Torah. What are you doing? You're expanding the Torah. Right? It's similar meaning. You're taking a category that exists and pushing it right farther than it was actually expanded. So, one could claim, Bikoshi, it's not really Akira, what is it? It's a...
Harvacha.
Right, that's the point. Is that an... Tosfos Kanyura thinks, and this is very weird. I don't know what to do with it. Right? That, what it means is that it's not really an Akira, it's simply a sidestepping, it's a Harchava. Now, Chazanish has a different understanding and thinks that Tosfos really holds something like a Tzorach HaShah, that's really what he's saying, right, is that he doesn't think that L'Shah means, temporarily means L'Tzorach HaShah, and that's why he thinks you can do it, Bekumbase. Okay, we are at time limit, so let me summarize. I'll turn off the recorder, anyone who wants to leave can leave, we'll do Parsha, okay, and if you want to continue like Kishar Tar, I guess we could, but I think we'll move to Pas getting drunk, right, whatever. Fine. So to quickly summarize, like here's the Minotaurah. Wait, the source. Either it's from Svara, as the Rambam says, which I think runs through everything. And what's the Svara of that? The Torah is one united unit. The Klal Yisrael is one united unit. Sometimes, in order to protect the whole, you have to violate a part. Theoretically, how? And it could be that that power is derived from Mutasar. It could be that it's not. We dealt with that in the Rashba and Rav Elchanan. Fine. Then we said, theoretically, what does that tell us about the Torah? It tells us that what the Rambam is telling us is that the Torah is pristine, theoretical, whole, has to continue to exist. As long as you're not challenged the theoretical body of Torah, you are fine. Right? And that's what a Kira Sefer Torah is. It's a temporary, it's medicine. Torah and its theory is a law, but Torah sometimes in practice has to be medicine. Parenthetically, if you want, you can see that, right, because that this principle means that sometimes the Torah needs to protect it. Poskim continued to use Akira Sefer Torah through the 20th century, right? I have a shir online, you can look on Akira Sefer Torah part 2. You'll see that this, right, you think it's crazy, it's only in time of Sanhedrin. No, it continues to be used ad hayom. Okay. and those poskim, by the way, are Chacham Ovadia, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the Shridei Eich. Right? These are not nobodies. Great. Then we said, okay, well, what... Once we say that's Akira Sefer Torah, good, so what are the limitations? So, one of them is Kumbase V'Shev El Tase. What does that mean? Two possibilities. Either it means Kumbase, you can't tell people to actively do something, you can only stalemate them, or it means that Chazal only have power over Aseiz and Nalos Aseiz, only certain things of certain Chomer. Right? That seems to be And that's related to machlokes hakas arye and Tosfos. How do you define it? Do you define it by the theoretical nature? Are you violating an aseir alav, or are you violating something passively or actively? Litzshah lidoros, two ways of understanding it. Litzorech hashah, meaning as long as you can justify and say it's necessary, it's mutter. Or litzshah lidoros means temporary versus permanent. Again, they both have different logics to them, but those are different. Megdar Milso Shiny, is that a different mechanism, right? Or is it part of a Kirsan Torah? Yes, it's a little bit more Pal what the difference would be. The Rishva seems to think there is a difference. I agree with you, I'm not 100% clear what it is. Then do we paskin Kumbase Shevel Tase? Bavli seems to paskin all Shevel Tase. The Rushali paskins explicitly Kumbase. Tosos thinks we paskin Kumbase in two circumstances. Either we really, really, really need it, right? Or it's a Radoma, and I can therefore say it's not really an Akira, it's a Har Chava. One last point. The Ramba. What comes out of this sugya is that, under certain circumstances, the Torah, the Chachamim are not limited by anything, right? They're just not, right? Because they cannot prove the Torah. So what is the only thing that limits them? Right, if you can't limit them by law, because you can say they have the right to abrogate the law, then what limits Chazal from always abrogating the law? No. I definitely think like Tosfos, right?
Things like the Horozer?
Nothing, right? The only thing that keeps them is their integrity. The only thing that limits them is the trust that they're doing it for the Torah, which is why, how does Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and the Perek of Akiras Torah and HaTorah, look at the last source on the page, Kol Eilu Advarim Lefi Mashiira Adayin Shizero Yilikach Vesha Tzricha Ubechol Yu Masin L'Shem Shamayim El Yekav Adabriyus Kal Beinav Sharei, etc., etc., right? Why does the Rambam end the Perek of Akiras Torah and HaTorah with as long as it's L'Shem Shamayim? Because the single thing that can prevent Chazal from misusing this power is
morality.
Yeah, is their own morality and their own integrity. They're actually, it's as disturbing as it is, there's nothing fundamentally limiting them. And that often is the claim of authority. In the end of the day, in order to trust them, you have to trust them. If you don't trust them, you're not going to give them this power. It's a scary thought, but I think, right, that's what the Rambam is telling you, the way he ends the halacha.